on It's Supernatural. A woman had supernatural creative dreams where she saw chemical formulas that she knew nothing about. She discovered that these formulas were worth millions of dollars.
Can ancient secrets of the supernatural be rediscovered? Do angels exist? Is there life after death? Are healing miracles real? Can you get supernatural help from another dimension? Has the future been written in advance? Sid Roth has spent 30 years researching the strange world of the supernatural. Join Sid on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here. Welcome to my world where it's naturally supernatural. My guest, Steve Foss, had a prophecy in the year 2000 about the economic collapse. I want to hear about this. What did God tell you?
Well, in 2000, God spoke to me about the presidential election that was coming up at the time. He told me that George W. Bush was going to be the next president of the United States. He told me he was going to be elected to two terms. He said during his time, there would be a season of unprecedented wealth creation. We all remember the housing boom and the, it seems like forever now, but we remember that.
Anyone could have made money
right,
back then.
Right, it was so easy. And it was, but he said at the end of the Bush administration, the economy would collapse. The economy collapsed. And we saw this begin to take place just as we turned, just as September hit. We saw the trumblings before, but boy, the stuff that happened in September and October, we all remember, and the threat of the total economic collapse. And I began to pray at that time too. I said, Lord, is this the final end time collapse? Because I believe, Sid, that I know that in order for the one world economic system to rise up, for the Antichrist to come in, for nations to give up their freedoms, there has to be a world economic collapse. I said, is this that one?
Right.
And he said, not yet. It's laying the groundwork for it. The foundations of the world economic system are being shook right now and being cracked and broken. But he gave me an incredible word. He said there was a time of wealth creation that was going to come back, a time of prosperity, short season, that was going to come back. And he told me, he said, you tell my people, get out of debt. Get out of debt. He's going to give us one more opportunity to get out of debt.
If we don't get out of debt, what's going to happen?
We will be so bound up because those who are debtors are slaves to the lenders, are subject to the lenders.
Well, you know, I believe what you're saying, too. I believe that we have a short window of opportunity to get our house in order. And I also believe, Steve, that you are almost like an old covenant prophet. You go through the experience to get extraordinary supernatural wisdom to help others. Now, you were warned not to get in debt. Tell me about that warning.
I feel like I'm being rebuked by my father right now. Yes, 1989, God told me, don't go into debt. He said it will hinder what I have for you. But by 1994, I forgot. You know, circumstances
Welcome to the human race.
Circumstances come up, and people, other preachers even, influence the way that you think. Oh, it's not so bad. It's okay, as long as it's done for God purposes. Well, we were going through a struggle in our church at the time. A church split went on, and I became concerned about the finances, and so I started borrowing on credit cards and started living off of credit cards. Well, within eight months, we were $18,000 in credit card debt.
And you totally forgot that word you had from God, do not get into debt.
Yeah, I forgot it conveniently. You know, you're aware it's there, but
you see others doing it, so you say, I guess it's okay.
That's right. And here was the biggest thing I would say. I didn't know what else to do, which was the trap. I didn't know what else to do. And that came back to give me a revelation later on. Well, so then our economics got better. But then we'd have, every time there was a down season, we would lean on the arm of debt. But we thought it was manageable. We could manage it. And we'll borrow now, and God will bring in the provision. God will bring it in. Well, it kept building and building until it got overwhelming. And we were doing another church. I just planted a separate church. We did another church. And we lost our facility. We were renting. We lost our facility. And we had to start meeting Sunday afternoons. We lost 70% of our crowd.
Just out of curiosity, Were you giving money? Were you tithing? Were you doing what the Bible says
Absolutely.
To do?
We were radical sowers and tithers. And we saw supernatural provision come in. But the debt was overwhelming to the provision that was coming in. Now, some people say, oh, well, that shouldn't be so. But Sid, when this all broke through, when it all got said and done, I found out, I did the math, all the money I spent on interest payments and penalty payments, had I not gone into debt in the first place, that money was equivalent to everything that I actually bought.
So somehow you thought you had to help God out.
Yes.
But he actually yes. provided had you not gone into credit card debt, because then you still owed all the principal
right.
because you had just been paying the interest and penalties.
Right, just the minimum payments. And so he kept having interest and he kept building and building. And that's what the trap was. Had I waited, God had provided. The sowing, the tithing, the offerings, all of the principles worked. God had provided had I waited and not gotten the debt in the first place.
How bad did the debt get?
My unsecured debt, credit card debt, loan debt, was $125,000.
But you know, the thing that is tragic is when the credit card companies came after you. Tell me about that.
You know, we got to a point where God started dealing with me. And I finally said, I was borrowing from this card to pay that card. I finally said, no more, God, I can't do this. And I cut the credit cards up, and God started speaking to me about debt. But we didn't have the money to pay some of the big ones. They were due right away. I owed one company a lot of money. They turned us over to collections. I tried to work out payments with them. They wouldn't work out payments. They called us up and then started to threaten us. And I remember getting the phone call, Sid. They're saying, we're suing you today. And I said, I don't have any money. And they said, we have ways of getting money. We're going to send our people in. They're going to take your children's toys away from them in front of you, and they're going to turn to your children and say, your dad is a deadbeat father.
They really said that to you?
They said that to me. And
How could they do that to you?
They were lying, but I didn't know they were lying. And Sid, and I understood the pressure of financial collapse, and I know there's people, I can feel it right now. There's people right now, you are connecting with what I'm saying right now. You're feeling it. You know what the threats are like. I was in tears. I sold my family into slavery. What they're going to do to my children. I wasn't squandering money out there. It built step by step. I wasn't a bad person. I wasn't living, taking ridiculous vacations. I found myself in situations and I was making bad decisions, but I didn't even realize it. And now my family was in slavery.
And you know what's so wonderful? There is light at the end of the tunnel. He has been given supernatural wisdom on how to live this life, not being a slave to debt. I can't wait for him to tell you a bit about it. We'll be right back after this word.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Steve Foss, and I'm so excited about your DVD series. I watched this called God's Provision in Hard Times, because let's face it, we are in hard times, but we don't even know what hard times are. It's going to be getting a lot worse, and we have a period of time in which to get things right. And I believe God has raised Steve Foss up to teach you how to do that. But tell me again, when these credit card companies came after you, what did they say about your kids' toys?
They said they were going to come in, take our kids' toys away from them, in front of them, and turn to them and tell them, your dad's a deadbeat dad. And I said, I went downstairs and some of my staff came over and I was in my home and I was just crying. I literally felt the hordes of hell, demon spirits surrounding me, wanting to take my life.
You must have felt like the greatest failure around when they said that to you.
You know, you sit there and just as a father, but also I'm a preacher, I'm a minister, I'm in the nations all over the world ministering to millions of people. How did I get into this trap?
And you did everything right. You tithed. You were a giver. You understood sowing and reaping. I mean, you understood these principles.
So how did I get in such a trap? Why hadn't God provided?
Yes.
And I finally turned around and my staff left and I stuck my head in the couch and I said, God, I said, I have sold my family into slavery. I made the choices to get into debt. I chose to. And the Lord spoke to me and said, finally, you have taken responsibility for your actions. You see, what I'd always said was to people, I didn't know what else to do. I didn't know what else to do. And what God showed me was, what I was really saying is, God, you didn't show me something else. God, you didn't provide. God, it's your fault I went into debt. Because you didn't provide, I looked to credit cards. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, did you ever go hungry? I said, no, sir. He said, were you ever on the streets? I said, no, sir. Had they ever come and taken your car away? I said, no, sir. He said, you didn't give me time. Because you saw a potential financial problem in a few weeks, you reacted in fear now. And you leaned to credit cards. You didn't wait till the last moment. You didn't wait till the last day.
In effect, credit cards became your God.
It did.
Your source.
My source. And credit cards, money, credit cards became my source. And I started looking God, and this is the scary part, you start looking God as the one that provides a source. Because my answer, and so many others are like this, my statement is, if I only had more money, if I only had more money. But that's not actually true. Because when you look at money as the answer to your problems, then that becomes your God. Instead of God being the answer, money is simply a servant. You see, God said you can't serve God and money. You'll love one and hate the other. Whoever you look to as your source, as the answer to your problems, that is your God. That's the one you love. And I, without knowing it, I was looking at money. I was looking at credit cards. I was looking at borrowing. That's going to be the answer to my problems. That wasn't the answer. God was the answer to my all my problems.
You know, one of the things you address in God's provision at hard times is what so many people miss in the principle of sowing and reaping. You've seen on television, someone has said, if you will sow $1,000 into this ministry, you will get so much money back, and you've done it. And in many cases, it hasn't worked. Well, the law is a law from God. It is a true law. But there's something we're missing.
Well, this is because we've majored on biblical finances and teaching on tithing, which is absolutely irrefutable and important, and on giving and receiving. But it's not just that. It's how we spend money. It's what we look to money for. Not just a sense of our source, but what about sense of value? See, when we look to money to give us a sense of value, how many of us feel better when we have a nice new car? We want to go show everybody the new car because it makes us feel better about ourselves. We buy designer clothes that maybe we can't afford because it makes us feel better about ourselves. The neighbor goes and gets a plasma TV screen, so we go buy a $5,000 plasma television. We couldn't really afford it, but it makes us feel better because now it's the illusion of wealth. Because we get a sense of value in America from our illusion of wealth. I had some friends from New Zealand epitomize this to me. We're driving through Southern California, and he was there for 2 weeks. And at first he said, Steve, I drove around. I said, look at all this wealth. He said, then it hit him. He said, look at all this debt. Hmm. It's an illusion of wealth. Why? Why do we have to have the bigger house? Why do we have to have the fancier car? Why do we have to have the fancier clothes? Because how it makes us feel about ourselves. It's trying to raise our sense of value. But our value is to come solely from our relationship with God. That's why Paul said, I've learned to be content in all things, whether I have much or whether I have little.
So why do people sometimes miss it when they give money in a sowing and reaping thing to a particular organization?
Well, there's two different realms. One, because they have holes in their pockets. They want to give through sacrifice what they're supposed to get through obedience. I'm going to say that again. They want to give through sacrifice what they're supposed to. They want God to fix. They want to still live a debt lifestyle. They still want to have all of the, keep up with the Joneses.
I see your point.
Right? But they want to just give an offering so God provides all of those things. No, he's not going to keep funding our flesh. But the other thing is too, is there's been promises made that were wrong. We've made sowing an offering the answer to every problem, but it's not. When preachers say, if you give $1,000 and God's going to fix your marriage, well, sir, why don't you love your wife as Christ loved the church? Why don't you humble yourself?
So you're talking about the area of character is left out of sowing and
reaping. Absolutely.
That's what you're saying.
Absolutely. And so what would happen is sowing and reaping is a vital part, and it is a vital part, but it is how we live our lives. See, God said in Deuteronomy 28, if you obey all these commands, then these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. It wasn't just the command of tithing. It wasn't just the command of offerings. It was all the commands of character, the commands of living for God.
I want you to be debt-free. I want you to prosper. I mean, prosper so abundantly in bad times. That's why I love this series, and we'll talk about supernatural ways of God having you prosper in tough times when we come back. Don't go away.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Steve Foss. I hope you're enjoying this interview as much as I am. Steve, what is God's definition of biblical prosperity?
And I believe biblical prosperity is that you have everything you need to be most effective to fulfill God's purpose for your life and enough to be a blessing to somebody else. It doesn't mean everybody needs to drive a Rolls Royce and have a mansion. It's what you need to be most effective. It's not what you need just to barely survive. See, some people think, well, all I need to pray for is, God, just put a little roof over my head and a little clothes on my back, a little food in my stomach. But that's actually a selfish prayer, because God said we're to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and show hospitality to strangers. We have to have enough to fulfill what God has for us to do most effectively, and enough to be a blessing to somebody else.
And as you explained, it's following the principles that God has outlined.
You know, God gave me this incredible revelation, but told me to do this series, Sid, 2 weeks before the September economic collapse. He said, film this and do this DVD series, do this right now, and lay these principles out. Because when we get the principles that are laid out in here, the floodgates of heaven are open wide. It's automatic. We don't have to beg God for the finances. We don't have to beg God for the supernatural provision. It begins to flow.
You know, it's something that I learned that I never realized. There really is not a shortage.
There is no lack in the world today. There really is not. It is a great deception, because everything, God, think about this. God knew how many people were going to live on this planet. God knew what we were going to need resources-wise for energy and everything. Don't you think God pre-planned to put it within the earth what was needed? Of course he has. There's enough wealth on the planet right now for every man, woman, boy, and girl each to have over $12 million.
That is so phenomenal. Say that again, Steve.
I've got five in my family.
How much?
$12 million. There's five in my family. My share is $60 million. You know, there is enough. We have the ability to grow enough crops. There is enough oil. There is enough energy. There is enough resources. But there is, because of sin, because of hoarding, because of control, because of political things that go on and economic things go on, there becomes shortages that are not real shortages. And shortages are used to drive up prices, to people in bondage. Don't you remember in the 1970s, we had run out of oil?
I remember the lines.
I remember the gas lines. And in the early 1980s, I remember the gas lines, sitting in line, only getting gas every other day. Well, how is it that 30, 40 years later, we're not having those lines now? It's because it was not a real thing. It's contrived. There is enough wealth and resources on this planet, but God has planned for that to be in the hands of his people for the end time purposes.
And I love the way you teach on supernatural provision. Give me an example.
Well, there's this lady, a dear precious lady. She was in her 80s at the time, had never even graduated high school. I think only got to like sixth grade or something. And God would give her dreams. And in these dreams, she would dream chemical formulas. So she would wake up, never taking chemistry, and write down all the symbols that she saw. Then she took them to a chemist.
She never took any advanced courses.
Never took any advanced math, any advanced chemistry. Didn't even know what these symbols meant. Took them to a chemist. The first one she took turned out to be this wonderful formula, chemical formula. The man said it was wonderful, awesome. They patented it and sold it, the rights to it, for $60,000. But then she came up with another one that was an additive, a fuel additive, and she was offered millions and millions of dollars by OPEC countries because they didn't want it to be released out there. God gave supernatural ideas, supernatural creative ideas. And that's what God is going to do for us. We are not bound to the economic ups and downs of this society and of this life because we live in a God's economy.
Whatever happens to the economy, we can prosper.
We can prosper. There's always people who prosper in any economy. Well, it should be the children of God. God has promised. If we follow the principles, Yes, tithing. Yes, sowing seeds, but it's more than that. It's the value we place on money. It's the position we put it. It's how are we operating under the world system of debt and borrowing and leverage, or are we operating under God's system? And so when, once we get these things right, the windows of heaven open up, the prosperity of God flows, and I'm living proof. I went from total debt of well over $350,000, including my mortgage, to 100% debt-free, including my house, paid for. We buy nothing on debt. Everything is paid for cash.
Steve, I am reminded and even in awe of the supernatural wisdom that was downloaded to him in a vision. Tell me briefly about that.
Well, I had this encounter on it was reading the scriptures, Ephesians 1, 17, 18, and 19. A spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight and mysteries and secrets and in deep and intimate knowledge of God. And I kept over and over and over this, waves were coming over me when all of a sudden, and I was trying to tell my roommate about it and I kept becoming overwhelmed. And finally, I saw this scripture floating in the air. And I saw, not from behind or in front, but from within the very words themselves, the visible glory of God. And God, and I collapsed on my knees. I started crying. I see it. I see it. And God said, through my word, you'll see me. The impartation of wisdom, supernatural wisdom and revelation. And this thing, then God spoke to me. He said, that which I've given you, because I've traveled the nations of the world, ministered to millions around the world. They've asked me, even from such a young age, they said, where did you get this wisdom from? I said, it's from this supernatural encounter from God. But the Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to pray this for my people.
Would you pray this impartation right now?
Absolutely, absolutely. You need it right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, just lift your hands to receive this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release the spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of you by having the eyes of their understanding flooded with the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. God, reveal yourself to them. Let that wisdom come upon them right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And you know, I know we have to have this wisdom right now. We're going to receive this wisdom. God's going to give you ideas. He's going to show you where you're doing your finances wrong. That's why this series is so important. He's going to show them where they're not lined up with the principles of God, where they can get it right, so that the floodgates of heaven can open wide for supernatural provision, irregardless of what's happening in the economy.
Is there going to be a great wealth transfer at this moment in history?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, it is going to be so overwhelming, so shocking that the powers, because there are powers to be behind the scenes right now, God has shown me, that are trying to manipulate this world economy in this crisis to actually transfer the wealth to themselves. But God's going to come in and flip that on its head, and there's going to be an unprecedented wealth transfer into the hands of God's people who have the principles right. And the reason that's important, because if you don't have the principles right, it's just going to flood right out like holes in your pockets.
Yeah, do you remember Steve did one thing that opened up the floodgates of heaven? He admitted he was wrong. And that's the first step to having intimacy with God. Everyone wants intimacy with God. Not everyone is after religion and tradition, but everyone wants intimacy with God. Everyone has a void inside of them that they can't get enough love from things and people and events. It only comes from God. And God wants to transfer His love to you right now. If you admit to God you have made mistakes and say, I'm sorry. Some of you have made financial mistakes. Some of you made moral mistakes. Every mistake you've ever made, tell God you're sorry for. You don't have to enumerate them. He knows what they are. You know what they are. And believe that the blood of Jesus the Messiah is enough to wash them all away. And then believe the Creator of the universe wants to take up residence inside of you. Messiah in you, the hope of glory. Never lose sight of that. God lives inside of you. If by your mouth you make Him your Lord, do it now.